Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to tune in to our special guest today and to tune into who we have on the broadcast with a great message. We're glad that those that tune in continually support as well, and also glad that everybody that's listening has an open heart to whatever message and whatever our guest has. And let me give you our address. It's Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You can email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. And we have some great guests this whole week. Phil Brassfield tomorrow, Terrence Harrison on, I believe, on Thursday. And then we have someone going to be on here as well on the second segment of the show that we're adding tomorrow. I'll have that guest for you after we do this broadcast. But for today, we have Mr. Joe Chernoff, and he is with the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America. Say hello, Joe.
Shalom, everybody. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to the show, my brother.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. And I know that you have a lot to talk about, so I'm going to turn it over to you, and you just tell us about yourself. Tell us what's going on in your ministry. And I know that you have the theme for today is the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America. Why is it important for Christians to support Israel? And you just go ahead and jump in, brother. I'll throw some questions and whatever.
Okay. Well, the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America really is the largest voice organization representing the Messianic Jewish community in the world today. The Messianic Jew is a modern-day phenomenon. It started really with the apostles and all of the followers of Jesus, or as we call him, Yeshua, which was the name that his mother, Miriam, Mary, would call him in for dinner with. Yeshua, come on in for dinner. Yeshua means salvation, and that's why the angel said that he was going to be called Yeshua, because he would save his people from their sins. Now, the Messianic Jew, up until about 1967, there were very few of us in the country or in the world, probably in this country, less than 5,000. Today, the best hard evidence that we've seen out there coming out of the traditional Jewish world in their studies is that they put the number at around 1.2 to 1.5 million now Messianic Jews, or Jews that have a positive faith in Jesus. The Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, MJA, happens to be the voice organization, the largest one out there, representing our prophetic community. Our concern is we've been growing and maturing over the past 40 or so years. I mean, this all started to really flower in fulfillment of prophecy. All throughout the prophets, God foretells two major events happening in the latter days, just before the return of the Messiah. One is the physical gathering of Israel, which began in the late 1860s and 70s. It just trickled. Jewish people started trickling into the land of Israel then, and it kept growing and growing and growing up until 1948 and the founding of the State of Israel, which was an unbelievable fulfillment of prophecy. Also, the scripture is full of passages talking about the spiritual restoration of Israel, the dry bones standing up and God breathing his spirit upon us again as a people, and God restoring us not just physically but also spiritually. In fact, the Messiah himself says he is not returning until our Jewish people say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the of the Lord. So those two major prophetic fulfillments are critical to the Messiah's return to Israel and to the world. So what you're hearing here today is an expression of that great return of Israel. I'm sitting here representing them, in a sense, and speaking for the Messianic Jewish community. Now, David, our concern today, and probably what prompted this, is that we were very concerned about various Christian denominations. I don't know if you are aware of this, but there are five of them, mainline Christian denominations, that are taking an increasingly negative position, an anti-Israel position.
Really? Give us those names. Yeah. So we can, I'm going to write them down so I can pray.
There were five of them that are considering something called divestment. That is, they are trying to put pressure upon Israel to get out of what they call occupied lands, and which they are saying is unfair or is in some way unjust. And so they are pressuring businesses and companies that are doing business with Israel that they hold stock in their stock portfolios. And they are threatening these businesses like Caterpillar and others to take their money out of their companies if they don't stop trading with Israel and doing business with Israel. Now, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Anglicans, the Lutherans, and the Episcopalians, those are all denominations, Christian denominations, that are taking, or let's say have been considering. All of these denominations are democratic, so they vote on these issues. But there's been a growing number of their constituents that have been putting pressure inside to take a negative posture with Israel. We saw this happen recently with the Methodist Conference in Tampa, which has just concluded. And fortunately, I mean, we put out press releases all over the country and in Israel and around the world, putting pressure, hoping to put some pressure on them and to make the case why they should not. I mean, that would be a betrayal of Israel, a betrayal of God's prophetic plan, and so forth. They should be standing in back of Israel, not punishing Israel. God has brought our people home. God has established them in Israel. This is a miracle. God didn't say he was going to bring all of our people back saved and believing in Yeshua, but this is a process of restoration. And so fortunately, thank God, that effort was defeated by a 2-to-1 margin within the Methodist Church. And even though they are still, they still do have some anti-Israel views, but we were very thankful to see that particular measure defeated. The Presbyterians, David, have a conference coming up at the end of June.
Wow.
And they also have a very strong movement inside the Presbyterian Church trying to take an anti-Israel.
Why do they want to take an anti-Israel? I mean, the Word of God is the Word of God, and we're supposed to love the Israel people. So,
well, there are strong pro-Palestinian elements within those denominations, and they don't necessarily take a literal view of Scripture. They supposedly do,
okay,
but there is a strong liberal element that chooses to ignore prophetic passage after prophetic passage where God says that he's going to draw Israel back to their own land. I mean, look, even in Deuteronomy chapter 4, right at the beginning, God says he's going to give Israel the land for all time. Le olam va'ed, meaning forever. Whether we are in the land or out of the land, it's Israel's land. This is an interesting thing, which you don't hear too often. Well, you don't actually hear it at all. But all the way back in the beginning of the Scripture, in the book of Genesis, he promised Abraham that through Abraham and his seed after him. He was going to bless all of the nations of the earth. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob became the Jewish people. And back in those early days, God was telling Abraham, "I'm going to make of you a great nation." But Abraham was waiting on that son to come, and he didn't come until he was 99 years old. But in the meantime, he had another son through his handmaiden, Hagar, and that son was named Ishmael. And through Ishmael came all of the Arab peoples. And Abraham kept saying, "God, why don't you just use Ishmael? He's here, etc., etc." And God said, no, he isn't the child of promise. But I'm going to bless Ishmael and all his sons. I'm going to give him 12 nations. Well, the Arabs have turned from 12 nations into 22 nations, and God promises blessing on them. And they have become a strong group of people. Of 22 nations, 350 million people. He has blessed them with oil and financial blessing. But you see, God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that seed, one nation, the nation of Israel. Not 12 nations, but just one nation. And this is a fairness issue to us, too. It's a justice issue. The Arabs, or the sons of Ishmael, are saying, "Yes, we want what is ours, all of our 22 nations God has promised and given to us, and we want what is Isaac's, what is Jacob's, and their one nation, the nation of Israel. We want it all, what God has given to us and what God has given to Israel. We want it all." Now, that doesn't sound fair to you,
no.
Does it?
No,
no, of course it doesn't sound fair. But that's what they're saying, is that we want what is ours and what God promised to Israel.
Now, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, for those that are just coming to the show right now, we're talking to Joe Chernoff, and he is the president or founder? The CEO.
Well, I'm the CEO, or the general secretary, of the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America.
Amen. And we're talking a lot about today about the Jewish people and why we need to love them, help them, support them, and do what we got to do to see it happen.
Amen.
So go continue, brother. I just want to interject that real quick.
Sure. There are three essential reasons why I believe, David, all Christians should stand up strongly for Israel now. One is that God promises Abraham that through his seed he's going to bless all of the nations of the earth, which he has done in many different ways, the greatest of which, through the Jewish people, came the Messiah and Savior of the world, Jesus, Yeshua. And so through the Jewish people, atonement came for our sins, and it was our Jewish people that actually wrote the Bible and took the good news of the Messiah out to the Greek and the Roman world and preached it, and it spread all over the earth. And today, there are 2 billion people on this planet that say that they believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that say that they believe in the Messiah who has saved them from their sins, and that say that they believe in this good Jewish book, the Bible. So, as Paul says, there is a debt there. There is a blessing that has come through Israel to the entire world. And so God says to all of the nations, "I will bless them that bless Israel, and I will curse them that curse Israel." So there's a good reason, if you want God's blessing and favor extended towards you, you should bless Israel. But also there's a debt owed of grace that came through Israel and through the Messiah for the entire earth. And then thirdly, God's whole plan for this planet revolves around Israel, the restoration of Israel spiritually and physically. And so there's a prophetic reason why our Christian brothers and sisters all over the earth need to stand with us now is because these things must happen before the Messiah comes back. The physical restoration of Israel and the spiritual restoration of Israel. So you want to get in back of God's plan. You don't want to find yourself on the wrong side of God's plan, because that isn't going to be good for those that do.
Mm, amen. Now, how is that spiritual restoration coming along? I mean, you're there. You understand it.
Sure. Well, let me see if I can summarize it this way. Prior to 1967, there were very few Messianic Jews in the country. I would say fewer than 5,000. Very small remnant. In 1967, a great prophetic sign happened. The Six-Day War happened in Israel, and Jerusalem was united for the first time in almost 2,000 years under Jewish control. That's a huge prophecy found in the New Testament that was to happen only in the latter days. At the same time as that happened, God released his spirit through the Jesus People revival of the 70s, late 60s and 70s, and for the first time in 2,000 years, God began to pour out his spirit, but it included the Jewish people. And tens of thousands of young Jewish hippie kids were saved, just swept into the kingdom, mostly on a supernatural basis.
Amen.
And so suddenly, there were tens of thousands. Where there were just a few thousand, now there were tens of thousands. And through that revival, Messianic Judaism, or Biblical Jewish faith, the Messianic Jewish movement, was established once again. Listen to this. In 1967, there were zero Messianic Jewish synagogues throughout the world. Today, there are close to 1,000 Messianic synagogues worldwide and growing. Messianic Judaism, the Messianic Jewish movement, is the fastest growing stream of religious Jewish life on this planet today, since 67. Nothing is growing faster. It is growing by leaps and bounds. Why? Because this is God's time for the redemption of Israel and the return of Yeshua, Jesus. And it's going fast. It is going fast all over the world. Wherever there are Jewish people, our people are finding the Lord, the Messiah. And even in Israel, it is growing. Over 150 Messianic congregations in Israel. And there was almost nothing there in 67.
Now, how do they receive the Christian faith when we go down there and minister in Israel? I mean, how is like the charismatic preacher that goes over there, how are they received?
Well, you have to understand that there are cultural barriers. If you go there to preach a Christian gospel, meaning a gospel that is presented in a very non-Jewish fashion, mm-hmm. it's very difficult for our people to kind of relate to it. The Christian Zionists, who are blessing Israel now. There's a lot of different organizations doing that. They are a tremendous blessing because they're putting medicine on the hurts. Our people suffered persecution coming out of the Christian world, the Spanish Inquisition, all kinds of persecutions that have happened in the name of Jesus coming out of the Christian world. That has caused a lot of emotional barriers to even considering the faith. But now the Christian Zionist movement, which is standing in back of Israel, is blessing Israel in the name of Jesus. And so as a result, our people feel medicine healing those wounds. However, it still is being presented in a way that doesn't sound Jewish, look Jewish, or smell Jewish. So therefore, it's kind of hard to make that leap into faith when it doesn't really connect on that level. That's where Messianic Judaism and the Messianic Jewish movement comes in.
Okay.
We are bringing the Messiah back to our people. In a Jewish way, we're putting the Jewish clothing back on Yeshua, so that our people can see that this, to believe in Yeshua, Jesus, is Jewish, that this is true biblical Jewish faith, and that there are hundreds of millions of non-Jews, Christians out there that believe in Jesus, and though their cultural worship expression may be not Jewish, their faith is Jewish. And so the movement is bringing that full circle. The Messianic Jewish movement is bringing it full circle, much as it was in the days of the apostles. It is critical that our people see the Messiah in a Jewish way. And for that matter, it's important to every single Christian out there that they see that their faith is connected to the Jewish apostles and prophets, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, King David, the Messiah, and the apostles. It's all Jewish all the way through, even to today.
Amen, amen. Now, the best way people can do is the same way that they do for our ministry, because I go to Indiana. I understand the culture breakdown and having to present Christ, and when they're having so many things that they worship down there in India. And so I understand that the best way for me to really minister is by using the local people, using the natives of that area. And that's probably the same thing on your part, is use the Messianic Judaism and the Messianic Jews, use those to do the ministering versus, you know, I know everybody wants to go to Israel. It'd be a great experience, but sometimes the best way you can do it is just supporting a ministry that's already established there.
Amen.
Amen. So tell them some ways that they can support. I know that on your website, you have Shavuot is the opportunity to bless Israel. I read that.
Absolutely. The best way I can tell you is to go to www.mjaa.org. That is mjaa.org. And there you will see how you can partner with the Messianic Jewish community, Jew and Gentile working together to bring the good news and to bring aid and comfort to our people. You know, the prophets say in the latter days, comfort ye my people. This is a time where God is restoring us and standing with us and is raising us up. And there's tremendous anti-Semitism coming against Israel, but it's a great opportunity for Jew and Gentile to stand together under our flag and bless the nation of Israel. They can do that with humanitarian aid. We have put on the soil of Israel over $100 million worth of aid, and has changed how our people think about the Messiah and think about Jews and Gentiles worshiping the Messiah. So go to our website, www.mjaa.org, and there you can find out how to connect and to support and to stand with and to come to conferences and to touch our people in Ethiopia, in Israel, in Eastern Europe, here in the United States. And we together as a mighty army can show the world this is the same gospel that was preached 2,000 years ago, the same God of Israel 5,000 years ago. He does not change. Man can change. He does not change. The truth will stand forever.
Amen. Again, that's mjaa.org. mjaa.org, and you will be able to see a lot of stuff that they're doing and a lot of conferences and stuff that's coming up. The 2012 Messiah Experience, the 2012 Messiah. I'm just reading off your website in the Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Are you going to be there for that one as well? Or
of course, that is going to be the largest. It is annually the largest Messianic conference in the world.
Wow. Well, tell us about that for a second. What should people expect when they go to this?
Well, there'll be people from all over the world coming in, Messianic Jews and non-Jews. Come 7 days of worship. You can come for a day or two or five or seven. Tremendous. Over 60 speakers from all over the world. Huge evening. Dancing, singing, all the top Messianic Jewish artists. I'll be there singing and ministering, but also Paul Wilbur and Marty Goetz and so many others will be there. There will be a large contingent from Israel coming, some from Europe. It is a schmooze fest, as we say. A lot of fellowship. I love it. I wouldn't miss it. If you want to take the temperature of God's prophetic move upon the Jewish people, that outside of Israel, that is the best way to do it in a very quick period of time. Go to our site, Messiah 2012. You can see a DVD on it. It's about a two-minute or three-minute shot just on the conference last year, and you'll get a little taste of it. And then you can come and show up. There'll be a couple of thousand people there over the course of a week.
Amen. Amen. Also, tell us about the Joseph Project. I see that you're the chairman of it.
Yes.
And is that with Barry and Betta?
Betta? No. Okay. No. That's a different ministry.
Okay.
The Joseph Project was started back in 1996. That is the largest humanitarian aid society in Israel today, and it is Messianic Jewish. We have put over $100 million worth of aid into the country. We work in every hospital in the country, Holocaust centers, 110 social services centers, and over 35 Messianic street centers where many of our people are coming to faith in the Messiah there too. So that is a growing effort. In fact, we're just opening a second large regional center right in the face of the enemy in Sderot, right facing Gaza. We are planting the flag, putting a large center in there that'll service the entire southern tier of the country, and we'll be able to put upwards of $7 million worth of aid on the ground at any one time. And touching over 400,000 people within the next year.
Wow.
All of that for the honor and glory of the Messiah Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, how can they get involved with that?
Go to our site, mjaa.org, and you will see opportunities there. Just click on the Joseph Project, click on also Ethiopia and other areas where we are ministering to the far-flung tribes of Israel that are getting ready to come home.
Amen. Every contribution helps. It does something for someone that of God's people. And you got to believe that when you give to, I mean, you give to faith and you give to ministries. But I really know when you give to the Jewish nations, to the Jewish just ministries out there, that there's a special blessing on that, and
amen.
You're gonna be blessed. You know, count more than 100-fold, my brother, because you will be blessed when you bless God's people. And we're just excited to have you on the air, my brother. Is there anything in closing that you'd like to say to everyone?
Well, maybe a last point is this.
Go ahead, please. You got plenty of time.
When you partner with the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, which is basically an umbrella for the Messianic community, you are partnering with a whole community, not just Joel Chernoff. This is not my ministry. This is the ministry of the entire movement. So you're partnering with Messianic Jews all over the country and the world. That has a tremendous impact when we bless Israel. Why is that? Because of this. If Joel Chernoff gives $1 million to Israel, Israel says, all right, Joel's a good guy, but I don't have to give the Messianic movement, I mean all of the Messianic Jews credit for that. Joel was a good guy. Or if a particular Messianic congregation gives it, well, okay, they're an aberration. That's an aberration. Okay, I will give them credit, but I'm not giving the whole movement of Jews to the Messiah. It's too controversial and so forth. But when the Messianic Jewish movement blesses Israel in partnership with our Christian brothers and sisters, then everybody gets credit, and it changes the whole landscape spiritually because our people look at that and they say, wow, I guess all the Messianic Jews are like that. And look, their Christian brothers are standing with them. And this truly is the Jewish olive tree. The root is Jewish, the trunk is Jewish, and the nations are grafted in. They have never seen that in action before, David. Mm. And that's what, when they partner with the MJAA, they're partnering with the whole community, and we can demonstrate that Jewish olive tree to our people for the first time in a prophetic way that they haven't seen since the first century. And that has the power to turn the heart of a nation back to God.
Amen. Amen. Again, we're talking to Joe Chernoff, and you can go to his website at www.mjaa.org, and you're going to be able to get all the information that we talked about today on how you can support, and especially how you can get involved in reading the articles and news and everything. You can find that on that site. It is an organization that is Messianic Jewish, and it is reaching the world and spreading the gospel, and we need this done. We need this done. I mean, a lot of us are good soul winners and stuff, and a lot of us are good prayer people and going out, but this is a part that needs to be done for the Lord to return, and we got to, you got to support it. We can reach this to a lot of people, but then there's, and I know from missions that there's only certain people that can reach certain people, and this is one of the cultures that only certain people can reach, and we got to support the ones that are effective in it, and I totally support it and love you. And my brother, anytime you want to come back and talk about news, we love doing, we can do like a whole hour just on news in Israel and prophecy, and you just let me know, and then of course we'll talk about this again as well, and I would love to have you. I feel good about you, and I feel like, hey, anytime you want to come on, just let the reps know, and we'll get you on the air. All right,
thank you very much.
Thank you. God
shalom
bless
you. To you, and God bless everybody out there.
Amen.
Shalom.
Thanks for showing up on the show. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Amen and amen. That was an amazing, amazing show there. Joe Chernoff again, mjaa.org. Okay, everyone, listen to Rev Media Network. I want you to go to that site. I want you just to look at it. Let God talk to you. Let God speak to your heart. Let him tell you what you're supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to help. I'm getting things in my heart while I'm listening to my brother speak. And you know what? I do a lot of work in missions. I do a lot of work in healing services. I do a lot of work in radio and TV. But I'm not doing much in the support of Israel. And that's bad on me. You know, that's bad on me. But that's why we have people come in like this. People to give us awareness. People to give us understanding. And if I'm not doing it, I guarantee there's a few of you that aren't doing it as well. This is a good ministry to support, the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America. Why? Because just out of experience, you know how long it takes me to go and do something in India and to get it built and to go from ground up and to reach a culture and to have the contacts to do that and the time and the finances to go out and take care of this. I'm blessed that when I go to India, I have a team out there that I've known for years that could help me do what I got to do. But I tell you what, my brothers, if I was to go to Israel, there's no way I could do what this man has already put together. So sometimes it's best in a country just to put the money or your gift or whatever you want to call it, your tithe, your offerings, whatever. If you want to give it to them, just put it toward someone that can and has already something built. And like he said, you know, if you just gave it individually, hey, you know, that's a blessing. If you just send it to someone out there, that's a blessing. But when you go through the organization as the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, what you're doing is you're showing that, hey, the Messianic Jews are cool. We want to hear that they've been a blessing to us, this organization, and that's going to open up more doors. And I tell you what, everything you do does something good. Everything you put together does something good. We're going to go to a commercial. We'll be right back, and we'll be back in just a sec. God bless. Again, that was Joe Chernoff, and we'll be right back.
Psalm 122, verse 3 says, Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. I like this verse. It brings back memories of the time when I lived in the Juderia, the Jewish district of Cordoba in Spain. The streets were very narrow and the houses on the streets were closely compacted together. Principally, this was for two reasons. One was for a defense strategy dating back to medieval times, and the other was to block out the intense heat of the sun in the summertime. However, the main reason that I like this verse is because I like the word compacted. It means to press or join firmly together. Jerusalem is like a picture of the church. If we are solidly united together, we can reduce the heat of enemy attacks by being of one purpose and one accord. and with one heart we prepare for the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said to some religious people, "If you remain in my word, then you'll be real disciples, disciples indeed. Then, if you do that, you'll know the truth, and then the truth will set you free." They said, "Well, we're already free. We've never been slaves." Jesus replied, "Whoever sins is a slave of sin." They said, "Well, we're children of Abraham." Jesus said, "Abraham didn't do what you're doing." They said, "Well, we're children of God." Jesus said, "No, you're children of the devil because you do what he does. If God were your father, you would love me. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." They said, "Well, you're not even 50 years old, and Abraham saw you?" "Before Abraham was, I am." John chapter 8. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, 585-4402.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
I once interviewed Hall of Famer Bob Feller to talk about his famous 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
"If you got a good fastball, you can't teach anybody how to throw a fastball. If you weren't born with a good arm, it's very difficult to increase the speed by any exercises or any performance-enhancing drugs and so forth, which, of course, you shouldn't be taking because it's against the rules, and one of these days it'll be against the law. But you have to be lucky. I was born with a very good arm and practiced a lot, worked hard, did a lot of simulations, played a lot of catch, did a lot of hard work on the farm out there in Iowa where I'm from."
The hard-working Feller then said, "All the so-called secrets of success will not work unless you do." Now for more sports shorts, go to asecondlookatsports.org.
There's never been a tougher time in American history to raise a godly teenager. Our teens are pummeled with unprecedented temptations every day, causing unparalleled behavioral problems. Our American Judeo-Christian heritage has faded from today's culture to the point that we can no longer rely on government, our neighborhoods, or our public schools to reinforce the biblical worldview that we're trying to instill in our kids. An authoritative community model still exists, however, at a place called Shepherd's Hill Farm, located in Martin, Georgia. Shepherd's Hill Farm is a Christ-centered, year-long residential program and school for troubled teens struggling to navigate our sin-saturated society. God is using the staff at Shepherd's Hill Farm to cultivate the soil of teenagers' hearts so that the seed of His Spirit can transform them into change agents for Jesus Christ and for the sake of our American culture.
Trace Embry is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm. Shepherd's Hill is a Christ-centered and biblically-based residential program where struggling teens can experience life with healthy boundaries that are defined, enforced, and enjoyed. Find out if we can help you at shfteens.org.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. We live in exciting but dangerous days. These are the end times, and Jesus is coming back soon. Probably the most important spiritual gift today is the gift of discerning of spirits. The enemy's principal weapon is deception, and deception by its very nature is a lie that masquerades as the truth. It's a lie wearing a godly mask. The Bible tells us that people will come in the name of Jesus, claiming to be Christians, and they will deceive many, including many Christians. The devil will not appear in a red suit carrying a pitchfork. He may well look like a contemporary Christian. The fruit of deception is division, and those who are deceived are unstable and double-minded. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, and on Him only. Lord Jesus, help me to clearly discern the truth from the lies. Amen.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show, and you're listening to MidWatch with the Rev. Just earlier, we got off the first segment with Joel Chernoff, and he, again, MJAA.org is the best place that you can go right now that you can actually do some support for Israel and see every dollar you put in there make a difference in someone's life around the world in Israel, but in not only in Israel but everywhere where there's Messianic Jews that are trying to reach Jewish people, and that's a beautiful thing to be a part of. So just giving you that information. praying that you'll do that. And hey, tomorrow, guess what? We'll have Phil Brasfield. But we're also introducing something new to the show as well. We're going to start doing two segments. How about that? Two segments of the show. Yes, we're going to have two segments. I got to let my booking agent know, Mr. Daniel Fazina. He has been doing a great job getting me all these wonderful guests, and he's going to be excited because I'm going to give him more work to do, and that is to get me some first and second interviews. So we are excited that the show is going to be doing this. We're going to probably do, instead of having 30 full minutes with a guest, and we're probably going to do maybe 25 or 20 minutes, depending how that goes, and then we'll take a break and do a little bit of a 10-minute segment. And what I'm trying to do is I want to break up the hour into 20-minute segments. So we'll see how that works. We'll just play around with it. We'll see what God has. And you know what? Yesterday, or Sunday when I preached, I preached on seasons of faith. Seasons of faith. And the reason I preached on that was because we never know. We never know what God is doing. But because you don't know what God is doing, does that mean that you're not in the right plan? Does it not mean that? You know, I had a fortune cookie the other day, and I had to even share that as well. And the reason I shared it was because of this. It read really neat. It read really, really good. I don't think I have it with me. Do I even have it still? Hold on. I am going to read it to you. I don't think I even took this out of my notebook that I carry around with me. Let's see. Oh, look, you are blessed. I actually have it with me. I have it with me today. And it says this: you do not have to know where you are going to be headed in the right direction. That came from a fortune cookie. I call them faith cookies. And I used to make those and hand those out, but this is something I didn't make up. This is something that was actually in one. And I have these go-to cookies for just some encouragement when I'm preaching. I pull one of these. I won't eat it up there on the stand. I mean, up there in the pulpit. But I will put it out there and let the people know that where I got it from. The other one is: don't wait for success. Start ahead without it. You know, there are seasons of faith that we all go through. Different seasons, different things. There's not always going to be a high. And there's a lot of lows in faith. I got to tell you the truth, there is. If you don't believe me, read the Bible. There was a lot of lows in between a lot of people's walk. And anyone successful will tell you that you're the ultimate person to get yourself encouraged is yourself. Can you believe that? That you are the ultimate person to make sure that you are successful is you. Now, people have different assistants. People have different people helping them like that. But in reality, my friends, you are the ultimate person to make your day what it is. I want you to write this down if you can. Every day may not be a victory, but that shouldn't stop the celebration. That doesn't mean you don't have to celebrate. Come on. I think that sounds good. Every day may not be a victory, but that doesn't stop the celebration. Celebrate like it is, my friends. Celebrate in faith that God is doing great things for you. And one more thing I want to put out there is that we are not ever comfortable not knowing. Are you? I think the not knowing process is the worst one. I remember watching an old Steven Seagal film, and I don't remember which one it was. They're all very similar. Bad guy comes in, kills someone he loves. He goes after him, kills them. End of story. But in this particular one, he told a person he was going to kill someone. They said, why didn't you kill him? And he put anticipation of death. I think he wrote it on the wall. I don't know if he said, I can't remember. It's been so many of them. But it said anticipation of death is worse than death itself. And that is true. When we don't know what's going to happen in front of us, or we don't have all the answers, it's hard for some of us to react. It's hard for some of us to go forward and have a peaceful day because we're worrying too much. We're worrying too much. Had an interesting story at a church service, a church ministry event that I visited. It was a good event. And the minister that was ministering, Bishop Sue, I believe his name is, he had some great words for encouragement for me, but when he was teaching, he just encouraged me. He said, you know, Zacharias' mouth, in Luke 1, if you read it, Zacharias' mouth was shut. Why? Not because he didn't believe the angel that it was punishment, but because he was going to mess up the whole thing. God had to shut his mouth that Elizabeth, if you're not familiar with the story, angel came to Zacharias, coming in to do the. He waited a lifetime to do this event. He is finally the guy going into the altar to make the sacrifices for the Jewish people. He's going in there, and all of a sudden he sees an angel. He's afraid of him and said, "Oh, please, you know, what have I done?" And he said, "Look, don't be afraid of me. I'm not going to harm you. That your wife's going to have a child." And the first thing out of his mouth was something sarcastic. "Oh, yeah, I'm old." Okay, how's that going to happen? You're talking to an angel, and you're asking him, how's that going to happen? Well, I tell you what, he asked the angel, and the angel said, "You know what? You ask for a sign, your mouth shut. That's it. Here's an angel in front of you. Is that not sign enough, dude? Come on, think about it." And he went ahead and was quiet. And why? Why? Because, you know, basically go do what you got to do and just shut up. Don't mess these things up. Not knowing hurts us because we can't control it. Not knowing because we don't have to explain God. Because I tell you what, I guarantee it, you don't have to explain God. His miracles still happen. And Zachariah's mouth was shut. It was shut for all the time until the baby was born. And the interesting part was Elizabeth, who heard the news, and he communicated to her, I guess the writing, I don't have the word of God in front of me right now, but I believe so. And then she hid herself for 5 months. That was maturity because she was hiding herself so the doubters and the naysayers and the persecutors and the mockers won't stop her miracle from happening. My brother, my friend, Bishop preached on that. It was beautiful. Very strong. Wish I would have took my recorder because next time I'm taking my recorder. I should just hit record on my BlackBerry and I probably could have picked it up. But anyway, my friends. Anyway, God is doing great things and seasons. Seasons of faith. That's what we're talking about. And the season of faith that we're in right now is we just work it. So in your seasons of faith, you just work it. You don't worry about where you're at, where you're going. You just work the season. And God will get everything else that you need. God will get for you. God will give it to you. I want to give you a few scriptures, if I can, just for a few minutes. I want to give you a few scriptures that I think are going to bless you, that are really going to encourage you. Whenever you're down, wherever you are in your season, I guarantee that these scriptures are going to bless you. Okay? These scriptures are going to bless you. And if I can find them for you. Did y'all like that interview? Oh, man, I love that interview. That was an awesome interview, just last segment. It was beautiful. And we're gonna get him back on the air. I'd love for him to talk about history, but I also like him to talk about current events and the news and stories like that. Every time I have someone that's been to Israel or is in touch with Israel, we get so many amazing stories. We do. And you know what? We forgot to open our chat window again. Okay, guys, you got to remind me to open the chat window. I'm opening it right now. And see if anyone is on there. Because if you're communicating to me, if I don't have this window open, I don't know. That's really my bad. I'm just playing with you. It's not your fault. It's not your fault at all. And I'm trying to put this code in. Take. Okay, we're in. And okay, the window's open. If you want to chat, throw me a chat real quick. And I'll try and answer your question. Other than that, here's the scripture. Jeremiah 31:14. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 31:14. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. And another scriptures, I want you to write these down. Hebrews 13:5-6. Philippians 4:12-13. Psalms 107:9. I'm going to read that one. Psalms 107:9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Mm-mm-mm. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Those are pretty much the scriptures I want to give to you. So I want you to make sure you got those. And again, I'll read them to you one more time. Just because if you missed them, you can listen to the rebroadcast. But let me read them to you one more time. Again, that is Jeremiah 31:14. Hebrews 13:5-6. Philippians 4:12-13. Psalms 107:9. Tomorrow we have Phil Brasfield on the show with us. We're going to be talking about his book, and we're going to see how that works out for all of us. It's going to be an awesome one. I'm still going through it. And we have Terrence Harrison, and I believe he's the author of The Naked Truth. If Phil Brasford. We'll be visiting with him tomorrow and see what's going on. We're going to also possibly have one more person joining us on the show next week on the actual broadcast, and we'll have that name, and I believe it's Ken, and he's pro-Israel as well, and we're going to have him on here as well with us. And I'm trying to get all the information, his bio and everything. This is a last-minute plug-in for us, and we're going to try and do it tomorrow as well. So we are trying to do a couple of segments every single time we come on the air. Want to give you a good full show, and who knows, I'm thinking about even tooling this out to be about maybe an hour and a half to 2 hour show. And that would be a nice broadcasting. That'll put me to work for sure. But that'll be a nice broadcast to go out over the airways and to repeat as well. And I think a lot of people are going to be blessed with that as well. And we also, just to let you know, the ICRS 2012 in Orlando is coming up, and I'm going to that. I try and go every year to the ICRS events. And guess who we got on the air? Guess who we're going to be able to interview right there at the show. Well, we have a lot of great guests. In fact, I'm filled up for about 25 interviews. Actually, 36 interviews after today on those schedules so far. So I already broke my record by 5 or 6 on interviewing in 3 days. But guess who we're interviewing? We're interviewing the Jim Kelly family. That's Jim Kelly, the Hall of Famer, pro football, Buffalo Bills, Houston Gamblers. He is the man that we will be interviewing about his new book. And then his wife, Jill, and then their daughters, Cameron and Aaron. Cameron and Aaron wrote a book as well. And so did Jill. Jill wrote a book as well. So we're going to have them all on the show with us from the ICRS. And we're going to pre-record that one because they have so many engagements. We're just got a special time that we're going to meet them for 45 minutes and do a live show. So that's going to be awesome. I mean, God is doing great things. You just got to trust him. You got to let him do the things you are. And like I was saying, you work in seasons. Well, a lot of people say, Rev, why are you doing interviews now like this? Before, you're just by yourself. You'd have a guest here and there, and you'll talk about different things. Well, I believe there's seasons, amen. And I believe that I'm in a season right now, and I'm just going to work it. I'm going to work it. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to let God do it. And I don't know what this season will produce. I don't know what's going to finish from this season. But I know this, my friends. Things are going to be okay. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to keep going forward. And I believe God's going to elevate this ministry because I'm being faithful in the season to promote others, that God's going to promote me to where I got to be. Hey, you know, we have Marilyn Hickey coming back June 19th. That's going to be an awesome show. I'm already excited about that one. And we're going to have Jim Kelly on July the 17th. We're going to have Jim Kelly on the show. And so we're getting some names in here. And it's not just the names, but it's just the people are opening up to us, and we're going forward. We're letting God do something. And that's part of the season, is that you just work it and you let God do it. And where it lands, whether it's far or whether it's very short, you work the season. Well, however the distance you go in that season, well, that was the distance that God ordained for you to go. And you don't judge it by anything else but being faithful and trusting that God will bless it. All right, my friends, that's our show for the day. I hope you were blessed. I hope God touched you. I hope that faith was empowered in you. But most of all, I hope awareness came into you that we are responsible to reach the Jewish people. We're responsible whether we go ourselves or we send someone to go. And if we can send, you know, that seed that you put into the Jewish, the Messianic Jews, it's going to be a blessing. It's going to touch people's lives. So if you can't get a hold of this organization at mjaa.org, then find someone else as well that does it just as good. And I tell you what, these guys seem like they're doing a lot. I'm going to start supporting them myself. And I am going to believe God that he is going to bless the seeds that I plant in that ministry. Hallelujah, my brothers. Remember, you can write me at Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. And you can email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. And God bless you, my friends. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. Okay, tomorrow, Phil Brasfield tomorrow. And maybe a special guest after him. God bless you. We'll contact you next time on the Midwatch. Talk to you next time on the Midwatch. God bless. We'll be right back.